If you have your Bible, turn this evening, just a little while, on to Genesis chapter 49. Amen. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Praise the Lord. As we look at this tonight, we see, and I won't preach just a few minutes on the end of a man's journey. On the end of a man's journey. As we see this, and I read in your hearing tonight, we see Jacob and he realizes he's coming down to the end. And I can see him as he sits on the edge of his bed and with his staff in his hand. And he calls his youngins to him and he says, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Now he's talking to his sons, but he's talking to individuals to communicate to them what's going to happen to them in the last days. Now he's not just talking about today, and he's not talking about tomorrow, but he's talking about the last days, even to the last days, the dispensation of grace. He's a looking and seeing things that we can't even begin to imagine that this old man was seeing. Now Jacob had been the usurper; he had been that, but praise God, God got a hold of his heart, and Jacob had to go through a lot of things to get to where he is now. And we see as he begins to tell them, and I can see him as he sits there on the bed and he looks around. And he don't look at the pillared walls and the upholstery and the cushions and the couches and the painted walls there in the palaces where he's living. I say he had been down there in Egypt for about 17 years, but Egypt had not got a hold of his heart. It hadn't changed Jacob not one bit. He come into Egypt as somebody that knew God and loved God, had been changed by God, and he was somebody that was going to go out of here to be with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ought to be like Jacob. We oughtn't to let the world change us to be like it is. Praise God. We ought to just keep on being like God would have us to be. But we see him here as he gathers them together. Verse number 2 says, "Gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken to Israel, your father." So he said, "I've got something to tell you, youngins. You need to gather here. And so I want you to listen to me." You know, that's what we would do. I can see that in my mind's eye, because I don't know about you, but a lot of times we talk to our children, but it don't seem like they're really listening. Can I get amen right there? Amen. Amen. You talk to them a whole lot, but it don't seem like they listen very much. Amen. So he calls them together and he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I want to take you on a little journey and I want you to go with me." Said, "I'm going to take you in unison as a family, but I want to take you as individuals one by one." And he speaks to his oldest. He speaks to Reuben. He said, "Thou art the firstborn, my mighty, and the beginning of my strength and the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and thy defilest thou it." He went up to my couch. So he knows exactly, you know the story that they're talking about. You know that when Reuben had went in to his father's concubine or his father's, the woman of your handmaid, and he went into her, praise God, up into Jacob knew about this. He knew about what had took place. He goes up through these years and it comes up time. To lay out what's taking place. And he said, "You've been defiled. You've defiled yourself. You've defiled the others around you. You should have been the oldest. You should have been the one stepping up. You should have been making a difference." Now we know he did. We know that Reuben was the one that stepped up. when they wanted to kill Joseph, and he said, no, we can't do such a thing as this. And he stood up for Joseph. Praise God. He'd come up at a time when he'd stand up for and offer him up himself for Benjamin. We know that. But Jacob's telling him here, he said, listen, said there's going to be some trouble for you because you've caused trouble. You ought to have been the head. You ought to have been a leader. And in your excellence, your strength, and your power, he said, you're a mighty man, but you've done some bad things. Amen. Praise God. And we never hear anywhere where Reuben apologized, where Reuben repented of his sins. You can't prosper with God with sin in your life. Amen. You can't receive the blessings of God with sin in your life. Amen. So see, we see him going to Reuben, then he goes to Simeon and Levi in verse number 5. He said, Simeon and Levi, they're our brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Wow. He said, you boys is instruments of cruelty. How come? He said, my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto thy assembly. Mine honor be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for in it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. He said, let me tell you about their failure, how Simeon and how Levi failed, how they come up short. You see, they had a sister, not Dinah by name. Praise God, she was defiled by Shechem. Praise God, and they went out, and they heard about it. They were in the fields, they heard about it. They come in, they come over. Shechem comes over with his father, and he said, I want her, I want Dinah to wife. He said, I love her so much, I want her to live, to wife. You know the story. Levi and Simeon, they come up with this plan. They said, we can't give you that. We can't give you of our daughters. We can't give you Dana. We can't do it at all because you're not circumcised. Now, if you were circumcised like us, if you were like we are, we could do that, but we not do that, right? Praise God, because you're not like us. Amen. So these fellas, Shechem, he talks to his father and he tells him, said, I got to have her. I love her with all my heart. So they go back, you know, to Paul Harvey version. They go back and they talk to the men. They agree to be circumcised. And on the third day, when they're circumcised, when they're at their Soros, Simeon, they take in praise God, they go into them, and Simeon and Levi, they go in with the swords in their hand, and they kill all the men. Amen. The cruelty. They bring a reproach upon the children of Israel. Amen. Praise God. And Jacob says, what have you done? Paraphrasing. He says, you're going to bring them all our neighbors down upon us for what you've done. Amen. He said, you caught up in cruelty. He said, you're in failure. You failed. Amen. Because you have any kindness, praise God, because of self-will. Jacob calls it self-will. He said, you've digged down the wall. And it's the wall that was between us, praise God, the wall that was keep protecting us. He said, you've dug it down because of your failure. Because you failed, you brought a curse upon us. You brought the anger, amen, of our neighbors down upon us. He said, because that you scattered Israel, you caused them to be scattered. God help. Three sons, three failures, amen. But then he comes to the other son. He comes to Judah. Amen. I can see the old man with his staff in his hand, a smile on his face when he comes to Judah. Oh, there's something special about Judah. But then just as fast as the smile was on his face, it was gone. And tears welled up in his eyes. First number 8 says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Amen. He's speaking of Judah. How magnificent the power, the might, the godliness. But he goes on. The reason for his countenance to change is that Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stoopeth down. He croucheth as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up. He said it comes to a time that Judah will rise up. He said there's come to a time that they'll have the patriots are come become the kings of the land. There'll be a time when the tribes will have a king. They'll anoint themselves a king. They'll be in a kingly heirship. But praise God, he said, well, there'll be something that'll happen. And he said they'll begin to lose it. They'll begin to lose their power. They'll begin to lose their teeth to bite with. He said they'll begin to lose their strength. And they said they'll be beat down, stooped down. They'll be brought low. Amen. His heart is broken because he sees what can take place even in this world that we live in. Amen. So you can, he said, God will establish kingdoms and he'll bring them down. He said, we see how they rise up in power and they rise up in might till God brings them down. But he says this with another smile on his face. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. Amen. Praise God. He said, unto him shall be gathered of the people, gathering of the people be. Amen. He said, praise God, listen. He said, praise God, that's the way it is. The power's there and the power's gone. The power's there and there's gone. But he said, the separator of the holy God, praise God, will not fail to be there. Praise God, in the line of and the tribe of Judah, they'll have the power, praise God, to persevere. They'll have the power to stay in the fight. You say, preacher, well, they lost their kingdom or they lost their king. Yeah, but the Bible teaches, it says, till Shiloh come, until the Lord, till the Messiah comes. But the Bible tells us that they maintained that king's status through Zerubbabel, praise God. Zerubbabel is when he raised up, praise God, and he was made king, and he persisted for the glory of God. Amen, praise God, till Shiloh come. Praise his holy name. And then we can see that he, as he looks at this, the old man on his cane. And he says, binding his foal unto the vine. And his ass's colt unto the choice vine. Amen. We see as he sees the Messiah's career. Amen. What he come to do. What he come to participate in. What he began to be the head character in. Amen. Praise God, the Messiah would come. Praise his holy name. He would come binding the foal unto the vine. Now we see the foal and the ass tied to the vine. The vine was that John said we'd have, that we in John chapter 15 from verses 1 through 8 said that we would be part of the vine. And praise God, how that vine would be a representation of the power and the fruitfulness of God Almighty. Amen. The old man leaned upon his staff. He says, praise God, there's going to be a vine that's going to be fruitful. Praise God. But then he sees to his brokenness, and not only the Messiah's career, praise God, but he sees the Messiah's cross. Amen. He said, he washed his garment in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Who is this man who would wash his garment in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes? It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When he shed his blood for me and you on the cross of Calvary, that's what he would do. That's what he did for me and you. He lived and he loved. He was that vine of perfect righteousness and proof. He was that one that was fruitful and good. But praise God, he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And his vesture was dipped in blood. Amen. Praise his name. But notice, praise God, we have one that's won the conquest. See, his eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. We see here the old man leaning on his staff. He said, we have a safeguard in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now look at this. He said, his eyes shall be red with wine. In other words, what he says, the old man says, praise God, because of Jesus Christ, because of that blood that was shed to be our safeguard, Amen. Praise God. He said, we have protection that when God Almighty looks at us, He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise His holy name. If you're saved and born again, God Almighty can't see you without looking through the blood. Praise God. Now, how did this old man know this so many years, centuries before Jesus would be born? Amen? Praise God. A safeguard. Praise God. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. And a substance. He said, and his teeth white with milk. Amen. He said, because of the Holy Ghost of God, Brother Junior, that God Almighty is going to speak to us through the volume of the book. He said, we'll have a safeguard through the blood. Praise God, Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have a substance, a sustaining effect of the Word of God. People today tell me all the time, well, preacher, we don't really need the Bible. Really? Amen. Without the Bible, without the Word of God, there is no substance. There is no keeping staying power. That's why it bothers me. People say, well, I can sit at home and watch it on TV. They won't get the stabilizing, stable power, praise God, of God Almighty sitting at home watching TV. Amen. It ain't the same. He said, well, preacher, times is changing. We've got to live it in a more modern time. Amen. Praise God, it still won't take the place of good Holy Ghost fellowship. Amen. Praise God, we still need good Holy Ghost fellowship. We need good singing, praise God. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit of God. His eyes shall see red with wine, his teeth white with milk. Amen. Sees us through the blood, keeps us in his word. Praise his name. And then he says, then there's Zebulun. Oh, Zebulun. They said, shall dwell at the haven of the sea. And he shall be for a haven of ships, and his brethren shall be unto Zidon. He's talking about covering the coast. Now, I can't find anywhere. I dug through here yesterday and today. I can't find anywhere in my Bible that the Jew has ever been a seafaring people. Hello? I never find there that where they built ships, and used, except for the time of Jehoshaphat when they got a conglomerate together to do it. And I think it's only because the other people pushed him into it. But they had never been, praise God, a conglomerate of shipping. But we see what he's talking about. He's talking about a dispersion where they were pushed out. Amen. They were scattered out all over the world. Amen. Praise God. They were scattered out from one part of the coast up the coast, and they went out in I guess in some of them ships went all over the world. Isn't it an amazing thing how the Jew goes out all over the world? How in the dispersal they've went out all over into all the countries of the world. And it isn't amazing how they go in and they settle in and they acclimate themselves to the places that they go. They fit in, praise God, they become part of those peoples, and they begin to participate, they begin to help, they begin to encourage, they begin to give everything, every fiber in them to that place that they are. And isn't it amazing how people take that, and well, they smile, and they use it to their own benefit, and they milk, and they take all that they can get until they get all that they want. And then the anti-Semitism rises up and they said, you've got to go. We've milked you for all you're worth. Now you got to go. He said, hey, listen, there's people that's going to use you. You're going to be dispersed all over the world. Go out into the world, praise God, and be all you can. Be a help. Be an encouragement. Keep looking up to God. Keep looking to heaven. Keep pointing people in the right direction. It amazes me that when bad things happen in the world and you need a friend, isn't it amazing how the Jew is the first one that shows up to help us? Amen? When the hotel was falling down in Florida, praise God, it was being undermined. It was falling. They were trying to get in, trying to get people out. Guess who was the first people to show up? Israel. They come to help. Praise God. They were here within just a little while. But Jacob says, Zebulun said, you're going to be scattered out, buddy. You're going to be scattered out. You need to stay sincere. Amen. A dispersed people, but stay with God. And then he talks to Issachar. He said, Issachar is a strong ass couched down between two burdens. Amen. So just as Zebulun is a dispersed people, he said that Issachar is going to be a distressed people. They're going to be those that they come after. Those are going to be the ones that try to do right, the ones that try to keep the peace, to try to walk right and talk right and be God-like, praise God, in the places that they are. He said they'll have burdens, praise God, but said they won't, people won't want to work with them. They'll get jealous of them, and they'll beat them down. They'll try to destroy them. They'll try to discourage them. They'll try to keep them, praise God, in their place. Hello? Praise God. If anybody had any sense, we'd let them go wide open, just turn them loose. God's got more information, more knowledge in those people than anybody else we'll ever come in contact with. Amen. He said, yeah. He saw the rest was good in the land, that it was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant under tribute. He said they went in and they assimilated themselves with the peoples that they was in. And they begin to produce and be productive. They went in, and it didn't matter that they was in Africa or in Egypt or in Russia or in China. It didn't matter where they was outcast to. They went in and went done all they could for the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Said they came a servant and tribute. Said they begin to try to give back. Try to be what God would give them, help them to do, despite the anti-Semitism that was everywhere they went. And then he said, then there's the tribe of Dan. Poor old Dan. He said, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. He said, Dan's going to mess up. Dan's going to get caught up in sin. Dan is going to become part of that satanic rituals that the world's doing. They're going to get caught up in it. They're going to become a perverted people. Amen. They're going to become a people that... Israel doesn't even recognize no more because of what they're doing. They'll have no witness in the land. They're going to judge as judging Israel, but they'll have no witness. Some people even say that Dan may even be the second beast that he'll come out of the tribe of Dan, chapter of Revelation 13. That they may even be the tribe that that comes out of. You see, when you look at Dan and you look at the sinfulness that they lived in, where they allowed themselves to go. See, they was part of that tribe that was in that northern part of Israel, praise God. And they went up there, and guess where they ended up close to? They ended up close to a place called Pan. It's Benias now. It was a place of Pan. It was a place of perverted worship. It was a place of gods of fertility. It was a place, praise God, of ungodly worship. It was a place where idols were set up. Amen. Praise God. God said, I can't use that. I didn't realize it, but if you go to Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, where it's talking about those 144,000 that's going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom during the tribulation, Dan ain't one of them. Amen. Dan's not there. He was left out because of their sin, because of their sinfulness, because of their ungodliness. Dan was left out. The tribe of Dan don't make it. Amen. We better stay close with God. We better put away our idols. We better worship God. Praise the Lord. But Dan didn't make it. Manasseh, one of the sons of Joseph, ended up having to take their place to offer up those tribes to make up the 144,000 witnesses for God, for Christ, during the tribulation. He said, because Dan didn't make it. He said, Dan is a serpent. Amen. By the way, an adder in the path, it biteth at the horse's heels, make them fall backwards. Verse number 18, the old man of God says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Amen. Just throws that in there. As he's leaning on the cane, his gaze is fixed. And then he says, Gad. Oh boy, he said, Gad, a troop shall overcome him. But now watch this, but he shall overcome at the last. Now he's talking about tribulation. Here he's talking about tribulation warfare. And he said, Gad is going to be a trooper. He's going to stay in there. He's going to fight until the end. I mean, he's going to run a little. He's going to flee a little. He's going to fight a little. Praise God. But he's going to keep fighting. Amen. He's going to be overcome, but he's going to keep fighting. You know, we may be overcome by the devil in this world now and again, but praise God, there ain't nowhere where we should quit fighting. Amen? We got to keep fighting for the cause of Christ. He's worth it. Praise God. You just keep on fighting. He shall overcome at the last. At the last. I've heard that before. I believe he's talking about when Messiah comes. Amen? When he's fighting and he's fighting and he's fought all he can. Praise God. But all fighting will be done when Jesus comes. Praise God. And he'll call Gad out of the hills and from their fleeing. And he'll say, come on, fellas, I got this. Praise God. So we see the tribulation warfare. Then he says, out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. So we see tribulation warfare. But we also see tribulation welfare. Amen. God's going to take care of them, just like he always has. See, when Moses got the children of Israel and he marched them out into the wilderness of Sinai, the Sinai Peninsula. And I can just see in my mind's eye when he gets 3 million people and cows and livestock and flocks and children and women, and he marches out into the Sinai wilderness and into he says in Deuteronomy 6, to a waste howling wilderness. I bet the people looked at Moses and said, my God, that fella's crazy. He ain't much of a leader going that way. But what did God say? He said, I want you to go down there and I want you to get my people and I want you to bring them back to this mountain. Amen. Moses said, praise God, I'm going to go get the people. He said, I'm going back to God's mountain. I'm going to go where he told me to come. And he headed off into the desert. Amen. Glory to God. Praise his holy name. He said, well, he didn't do too. He done pretty good. He said, God went with him. He said, God provided him manna in the wilderness. Angel food. Amen. He took a wind and blowed in the birds, praise God, so they could eat flesh. He had Moses take and bring them forth water out of the rock in the wilderness. God did that. He ain't changed. Praise his holy name. He said, they shall yield royal dainties. He said, they grow fat on the things of God. Amen. Praise God, when things are tough, when things are, we can grow fat on the things of God. Praise his holy name. Hurry along, he said, Naphtali is a hind let loose. Amen. He giveth goodly words. He said, Naphtali is a hind let loose. Amen. He said, giving goodly words, he said, in the tribulation. He said, they're going to be the witnesses. They're going to be spreading the gospel, the kingdom of God. They're going to be proclaiming, praise God, something better's a coming. Those witnesses in Revelation 7 and 9, praise God. It's going to be miraculous. God is going to save. He said they're going to be that hind. That deer, praise God. You ever notice how fast they are, how they can get gone and hurt? I mean, they can move. He said, going to be a hind let loose. And he giveth goodly words. Praise God. And then there's Joseph. I can see the old man of God as he looks around, he looks over at Joseph. The only two left in his sight is Joseph and Benjamin, the two children from his beloved Rachel. Amen. Praise God, who had them toward the end of life. And he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Amen. Even a fruitful bough by a well. That's a bough, praise God, that's very fruitful. He said, it's well watered, it's well provided for. He said, it's going to be a bough that's fruitful by a well, whose branches run over the well, of the wall. Amen. He said, this Joseph, which is type of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the vines will run over the wall. They'll run over to us, they'll run to where they can be a help to others. Amen. The glory be to God. But then sadness comes upon him. He said, the archers have sorely grieved him. Now notice, he talks about the Savior's sufficiency in the boughs and the branches. But then he says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Praise God. He says, hey, listen, this one that's rose up, this Savior, praise God, who's rose up, who's able to raise the dead, who's able to heal the sick, who's able, praise God, to cast out demons, who's able to feed the hungry, who's able to turn the water into wine, who's able to make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, the lame to walk. This fruitful bough, praise God. Amen. Not only is it sufficient, but he's also a suffering Savior. He's the arm of the world is coming after him. But he overcomes that world. Look at verse 23. He said, the archers have sworn griefully, have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. That's our Savior. People still hate him. And his bow abode in strength. But his bow abode in strength. His arms. Amen. He didn't die in weakness. Jesus died in strength. He died in power. Praise God. Bless his holy name. He died with a shout. Amen. Jesus died with a victorious shout. A shout that would create the rocks of creation. Amen. Praise God. The very rocks of creation. It would burst forth open the tombs so those that was buried in there could come out. Strength, praise God, that would prevail in the resurrection. Amen. For thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. It's an amazing thing that Jacob would write this. And in some 600 years later, Daniel in his writings would say that stone that was carved out without hands. Praise God. The same stone that Jacob was talking about. Daniel would talk about, praise God, 600 years later. Praise his holy name in Daniel chapter number 2. Bless the Lord. And then we see the Savior's supremacy. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. He said, even by the God. How's it happened? By the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty. Amen. And then watch this. It takes place through the power of the resurrection. Amen. And then come the blessings. And it's just like God just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing. And I'm hurrying. I'm about done. He said, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of the progenitors. And unto the utmost bound The everlasting heals. Amen. Praise God, we see the blessings because of the resurrection, because of Christ, we see the blessings of God. And then we see the Savior's supremacy in the last part of 26. He said, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. He's talking to Joseph, but he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Laying out through the centuries and the generations to come, pointing to the Messiah of God who will soon come and praise the Lord. Amen. And then we have Joseph, and then we have Benjamin. Amen. We have little Benjamin. Praise God. As we see that God brings us up and He brings us through the tribulation, great tribulation, and then He brings us unto Benjamin. Benjamin takes his place, praise God, during the millennium. So that Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. Now watch this. Now we see the millennial glories of the Messiah. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. He said, when God says enough, it ain't going to take long. Amen. One day he'll do it. Praise God. The commencement of the age. Praise God. When he mentions Benjamin, he said his foes will be subdued. Praise God. In no time. Amen. Said he'd be engage in battle. Praise God. And he'll take a Satan and he'll lock him in the abyss. He won't be no more. He'll rid the world of the wicked. Will there be no more wicked men? Won't that be something? Amen. Glory to God. He said, and all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it, that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone, according to his blessing, he blessed them. Amen. So we see how it plays out to the very beginning, the end of the age, even to the end of the millennial reign when it begins. And then we see the completion of the age when Satan is loose for a little season. Rebellion is everywhere, rose up against him. And the wrath of God is poured out. Amen. And Jacob walks us right through this all the way to the end. Till we see a new world and a new planet. Amen. A place, now listen to me, a place forever without sin. Never be no more sin. Amen. So we see Jacob and he comes to the end and he takes, and I can see him, he lays his staff down. And before he turns around into the bed, he said, oh yeah, fellas, and don't forget, don't you bury me down here in Egypt. He said, you bury me in Canaan, in the cave of Machpelah. Amen. Where all of our kinfolk is buried. Where Abraham is buried, Sarah his wife. Where there they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. Amen. He said, you take me out of here and you bury me with the hope of resurrection with our folks. Amen. Don't you leave me down here for them to do with me what they will. He said, but you bury me in Canaan. Laid his staff down, pulls his feet up into his bed, lays him down, and he gives up the ghost. Amen. With a blessed hope and a promise. The Bible said he was gathered unto his people. Praise God.